Greetings, welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 110, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling here on a day that's maybe the turn of winter for us here. About an hour ago, it was nice, about 65, pretty, you know, slightly warm, feels pretty good for a fall day, and now it's like a cyclone going on out there. As I come into the studio, it's raining, the leaves are swirling around like tornadoes, just violence in the air, and that's what I like to see. So anyway, we're on our way to winter, hopefully a little bit better fall coming up here in the next few days, but it's going to get chilly, maybe some weather in the forecast. We talked about it on the radio show the other day about the potential weather that we could be having this weekend. I don't think we're going to get anything, but some people just love to get excited about that stuff. Nonetheless, let me remind you right now, high school football is back on the Watchdog this weekend. We have two games for you on Friday night, both 7 o'clock kickoffs. WatchdogNetwork.com is where you're going to want to find them. On WKKX, it'll be Nichols County, the number 12 seed in West Virginia Class AA, against Wheeling Central, the number 5 seed in West Virginia Class AA. That will be over at Bishop Schmidt Field. And then also, 7 o'clock kick over at Wheeling Island Stadium will be number 13 Musselman on the road at number 4 Wheeling Park. That is Quad A action. That'll be on WVLY and WatchdogNetwork.com. Football Friday kicking off. Jill's and Gumby's the sponsor there. I believe we'll be in the studio because of weather again. So, nonetheless, we're back at it after a little bit of a delay there. No football action last week, but we're back in action. We got football all 3 days. UCF at WVU 3:30 on Saturday. I believe that the pregame is like 12:30. 1 o'clock pregame there. You can hear that on WKKX WVOY. And then of course the Browns hosted the Steelers on Thursday. So, to be determined the result of that one. All right, let's get down to business here. It wasn't a great week for us. We did card a couple of season-long winners. We had a winner come in with LSU under their win total. They have now clinched where they cannot win. Let's see, what did we get them? We had them under 9. They've got 6 wins. They got 2 games left. So they cannot eclipse their win total, so that's a winner for us. And the Cincinnati Bengals continue to prove lucrative for us as we seem to be the only people that go against them on a regular basis, as they are now locked into not hitting their 10.5. I have an alternate bet on them at under 9.5, too. That one still could happen if they ran the table, which I don't expect to happen. So, winner there, winner with LSU under, and Rutgers over their total. The Rutgers Scarlet Knights with back-to-back wins, and they are now 6-4. So, 3 winners there. That made us go up 6 units for the week. We were 8-8 in college football. Just cannot seem to turn the corner there. NFL 7-6, CFL 1-1. We also had a future winner with Toronto. We gave that one out here. That was the only team we thought made any sense other than Winnipeg or Montreal, and it worked out perfectly for us. Toronto gets the job done. The game gets away late, though, for the under. Thought that was going to be a dead under. Toronto was in the game and controlling the game the entire time. Points galore late in the game. Pretty good game, actually. Toronto wins the game outright, catching a 9.5, so he had that one. And we had plus 350 on the Argonauts. They are the Grey Cup champions for 2024. So, up 6 units. Nothing to be excited about, but, you know, it's better than being down 6 units. Let's update you on some things going on in the basketball world. The NBA, best ATS teams so far as they start off the NBA in-season tournament, which is a little bit weird to me. I still just don't really... I mean, I grasp the concept because it was stolen from soccer, but I don't... I don't know. I guess people think it's neat because of the creative color courts and things like that, but it doesn't seem to stop guys from sitting out. So I don't know what incentive could make you not want to sit out when you're getting guaranteed contracts of $40 million a year. So just a terrible product. The TV ratings are tanking so badly, and I'm not just saying that. That's not my opinion. That's a fact now. A really, really bad product. People have had enough, and yeah, so, oh well, GR to the NBA. Best ATS teams, though, you can still bet the games. I don't say that you shouldn't bet them and find angles and things like that, but watching them is a whole different story. In-play wagering for the NBA, to me, if you want to stomach it, go ahead, but I can't do it. I just won't participate, but I will ride some of the trends and follow them on my phone so I don't have to watch this terrible play and the stupid behavior. Brooklyn, 10-3-1 ATS. The Cavs, who finally lost last night, 12-4 ATS, so they did cover against the Celtics. Golden State, 9-4. Houston, 10-5. Toronto, 10-5. Memphis, 9-5. Oklahoma City, 9-5. Those are your best cover teams in the NBA to this point. In about, let's see, what's it, about a month into the season. College basketball, we talked about it last week. The line movements, the lines are starting to tighten up a little bit, so you're not seeing as big of moves or as many moves, but you can still find them out there. Some moves on the totals are still looking all right. You're still seeing 4 and 5 point moves. Not nearly as many as you have, so take advantage of it while it still lasts. You got a few more weeks before you start getting into conference games. You're going to have some of these tournaments coming up, these holiday tournaments, which can also, you can see some serious line movement in those, but the guys are tightening the lines up a little bit as expected. When you get more data, you can make the lines a little bit better. That is for sure. You're seeing teams who have upperclassmen, a dominant lineup of upperclassmen, whether it's four juniors or seniors starting, especially if you had guys who have played together before, but you're seeing it's starting to show already. Usually it shows very well in March into the NCAA tournament, but these teams with upperclassmen, keeping on Kentucky, I think they're going to be a lot better this year than they normally are. Not that they're not ever talented, they're always talented. With Coach Calipari, though, was always one and done guys. You're seeing Mark Pope, the former Wildcat himself, bringing in guys, transfers of upperclassmen, and trying to get them to mesh together. They're very good. I watched them a couple of times already. They seem to have some potential. So I'm not saying they're in a national championship contender or anything. It's a little bit early to start gauging out who you think can win, but you put them up against a team like Duke, who has what Kentucky usually has, all a bunch of young guys. I just don't know how good Duke will be. They're talented. They're going to have some really good games, and they're going to have some really bad ones. So Kentucky, Kansas, a little bit more experience on these teams. I think Kansas, off of a very bad year last year, would be a team to reckon with in the Big 12. So we'll talk plenty more about that. Once football starts winding down, we'll start zeroing in on some conference champions and some things like that on the college basketball scene. All right, skipping over to racing. We still got a little bit of racing left here in the kitty. We got 3 races left in the F1 circuit. They're at Las Vegas this week, and this is exciting. It's the second time they've been in the Las Vegas street course. Now, I know everybody in Vegas hates it because it messes up traffic, and it's just a big undertaking. So we've been off for a few weeks. The last time that we were in action, if you remember, it was Max Verstappen getting back into victory lane down in Brazil. He got the job done in his Red Bull car. Oracle Red Bull led 27 laps, was victorious. George Russell ran solid. He was, he led 28 laps, and he finished 4th. Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly. Yes, those names you probably don't hear very much on here, unless it's to maybe try a top 10. The Alpines run 2 and 3, but it was rain. It was a lot of chaos down there in Brazil, and Verstappen got back to victory lane. So this week, or the top of the podium, as they say in F1, he and Lando Norris, co-favorites at plus 225 in Las Vegas. Now, Max won this race last year in the inaugural race. He led 29 laps. Charles Leclerc, the Ferrari driver, was second. And Sergio Perez, who's had just a dismal year for Red Bull, and he's going to get fired, led 8 laps. He won't be a contender, I don't believe. Esteban Ocon, who ran well last time we were in action, he ran 4th here, actually. So maybe the Alpines, an Alpine top 10 could be worth a sniff here. The McLarens did not run very well, but interestingly enough, Oscar Piastri, who finished 10th in the race last year, did have the fastest lap. So I would expect that the McLarens pick it up a little bit. I think Piastri at plus $1,280, I think he might be worth a little bit of a look here. And I do expect the Ferraris to bounce back. They didn't have a great run in Brazil. Their usual mechanical issues from time to time that they have. But I think Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz are both live at their prices. I believe Sainz right now is at plus about $6. So he's about a $6 price right now. Leclerc around 3-1. So I think the Ferraris make a little bit of sense. I'm going to check out the first round of practice tomorrow. Post these picks on BLS_PRP. The Mercedes did not run great at Las Vegas last year. They're starting to show a little bit of signs of deterioration, maybe. I mean, I would say Russell did lead 28 laps in Brazil, so maybe not. But I feel like the Ferraris still have the momentum. McLarens have kind of hit a little bit of a plateau as well. And then Max Verstappen bouncing back for Red Bull. Can he make it 2 in a row? That's going to be the key. We'll see how this closes out. We have the Qatari Grand Prix and the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix coming up after Las Vegas this week. They don't waste any time. They go right from Vegas, and we don't even take a week off, and we're going right to Qatar. So that's a quick turnaround here. We'll be done with this before Christmas time. So by the time the West Virginia State High School playoffs might still be going, but we will be done with F1 racing. So that's right around the corner. You can follow the picks, BLS_PRP. Remember that. If you want anything that we have that's off the books or things that are late or early, if so to speak, you know, sometimes you might not make it if you listen to the show on Friday or Saturday. Maybe there was something on there that you had early in the day Friday or something like that. So we post all that stuff each and every week on BLS_PRP. All right, hockey. Last thing to run down here in the first portion of the program, NHL data here. First periods, here you go. Once again, these things continue to be great, and man, the third periods are even stronger than the first periods. Washington Capitals, 13-4 to the over in the first period. That's over 1.5 goals. So you get two goals. You need two goals in the first period to cash that bet. Two goals in 20 minutes. Caps are 13-4. Vegas Golden Knights, 13-5. Buffalo, Florida, and Colorado, all 12-6. Second period overs. Florida again, 17-2. They continue to strengthen. I think last week they might have been 15-2 where they've went 2-0 again this week. Buffalo 15-3 to the over in the second period. Washington 13-4. So you got the Washington Capitals 13-4 to the over in the first period, 13-4 to the over in the second period. How about that? For a team who's not that defensively irresponsible. So you're seeing a lot of 1-1s and things like that from the Caps, I would assume. I can't guarantee that. I need to go back and check that data. But that's when you start to see that developing, then maybe you start looking in at exact scores of these periods, and you can really get some mammoth prices if you can figure out some good formulas to figure out how to put together some bets that maybe you get the exact score of the period. Tricky thing to do, but Washington, to me, seems like when I play them over in the first period, a lot of times it's 1-0 or 1-1. And obviously the 1-0 isn't going to get you the win of the bet, and they haven't done that very many times, only four times the whole season. So looking at a lot of 1-1s in the Capital games because they play an even style, and their totals are not astronomical for teams that have two periods over at a 26-8 clip. So you would expect them to be really bad in the back end, but they're really not. So in the numbers inside the numbers. Anyway, back to it. Second period, Florida 17-2, Buffalo 15-3, Washington 13-4, Toronto and St. Louis both 14-5 to the over in the second period. Third period overs, the Anaheim Ducks. How about this one? Now, they're one of the worst teams, and they give up a lot of goals late in games. There's empty netters against them because they're trailing quite a bit. So you got 15-1 to the over there. You can find third period to be the highest scoring period on any game. You can first, second, third, your choice. But third period is usually going to be a favorite, but because of the empty net factor, but it's still going to be a plus price. So if you could put together two or three different third period as your high scoring period in a single night, you can have a very good night. So keep an eye on that when you're looking at the Anaheim Ducks in hockey in general. Third period numbers, instead of just betting it over the 1.5 for the third period, it's not a bad idea to look at the third period as the highest scoring period at a much, much better price. LA Kings, 17-2 to the over in the third period. Now they, on the other hand, very good defensive team. Very good defensive team. Usually their games will be 5.5s and sixes on the game total. So that's the other side of things there. The Kings kind of lull you to sleep in the first two periods, maybe put the binders on you, and then maybe they explode for a goal or two themselves in the third period. Maybe get an empty netter themselves because they're protecting their goal pretty well. Montreal 16-2. Now they're on the other side of things. They give up a lot of goals. 16-2 for Montreal. 16-2 for Vegas. So you see Vegas on here twice too. First periods, third periods for Vegas. There's also the factor, if you're not familiar with hockey, and I've talked about this before on the show, is the longer change. So when you're in the second period, numbers can tend to really be astronomical for teams who are bad on their changing, and you can start to identify that the Devils the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the season were horrible. They were like 13-0 to the over in the second period, and a lot of it was because they were so bad in transition. So when you're changing, you have longer to go to your bench. If you think of the red line in the second period, you got to cross all the way over to the red line to get on and then come all the way back across the red line to get back to your defensive zone. Whereas in the first and third periods, you're able to change on your side of the red line. So it's only two strides and you're back into your defensive zone, whereas you're having to scramble to get back. And teams will take advantage of that. The outlet passing, you'll see teams in the second period try to stretch pass a little bit more to try to catch you, you know, napping or slow on a change, and it definitely pays off. So those are all important numbers when you're assessing the hockey first periods and thirds and seconds, all that stuff. The tactics, they do play a role. ECHL, just to update you quickly, again, you can bet the Nailers. The North Division, we have North Division point totals. We have two win in North Division, and we have, of course, each and every Nailer game. The Nailers, 8-3-1, 17 points. They lead the North Division right now. They're the second choice right now. I believe I have them the second choice. Might be Adirondack. Actually, it might be Adirondack, Norfolk, and then Wheeling, but very tight at the top. So far, we're early into the year. They take on Fort Wayne on Saturday on the road, and then back home, Thanksgiving Eve, Toledo on Wednesday. That's wrestling night. You want to go down to West Banco Arena. If you're in town for Thanksgiving or you know people that are coming to town that like wrestling and hockey, that is the place to be. It's going to be an electric crowd down there. They have a great wrestling show that they'll have out in the lobby beforehand, and then a good game against the Toledo Walleye, one of the best teams in the ECHL. So Nailers off to a great start. Catch us nailing it down every single Friday on our Pine Room Watchdog radio show. All right, we're going to take a break here on Better's Last Stand, show number 110. We're going to be back, and it's time to talk all things football. That's right, the round football is back, my favorite football, soccer, that is, EPL, Champions League, Serie. We might even throw some Serie A and French League in there this week, a couple plays that stood out to me. We'll talk that and more after the break. It's the Better's Last Stand 110th edition coming to you from the Pine Room Studios here in downtown Wheeling. We're going to be back after this.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Better's Last Stand.
All right, welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 110, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for high school football action in West Virginia here on a Friday night. That's right, we are back at it after a week off, an unforeseen week off. We got two games for you on Watchdog Network tonight. It's Nichols County, the 12 seed in Class AA, taking on Wheeling Central, the number 5 seed over at Bishop Schmidt Field. That will be on WKKX and Watchdog Network at 7 o'clock. And also at 7 o'clock from Wheeling Island Stadium, it will be the number 13 Musselman Appleman on the road at the Wheeling Park Patriots. That one, Park the 4 seed, that one on WVLY and WatchdogNetwork.com. That's a rematch of a game that we had for you earlier this year when Park went over to Musselman, took care of business pretty easily. That will probably happen again on Friday night, but it's good to have the playoffs back. We'll have the pregame show coming up after this, get you caught up on everything that's going on in the high school football stratosphere after a week away. We have Ohio results. We got a couple teams in action in Ohio tonight, Steubenville and St. Clairsville, both still trying to keep their seasons going. Tomorrow, it's UCF at WVU, 3:30 kick. I believe the pregame's at 12:30 here on the Watchdog Network. You can hear that one, WVLY, WKKX, and, of course, WatchdogNetwork.com. And then the Browns, they played the Steelers last night, so nothing to really recap there. Okay, so let's get down to it. Again, this is a Football Friday presentation by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club. Thanks to them. We've been indoors for the last couple of weeks since the weather started to turn. Maybe we sneak back out, but you never do know. We have a lot going on here at the Pine Room and Watchdog Studios. So glad that you're with us, and it's time to get into it here on show number 110 of Better's Last Stand. Again, thanks for joining us today on the Watchdog Network. All right, let's go. We were 6 units up last week. Not a great week. We were 8-8 in college football, 7-6 in NFL. We were 1-1 in Canadian football, but we did have that winner with the Toronto Argonauts, so we gave it a couple of weeks ago here on the show at plus 350. They win the Grey Cup, taking down Zach Kolaris in Winnipeg in an upset fashion. And plus, they were plus 9.5 there, so in a good money line win there, and a good outright win with the Toronto Argonauts plus 350 to win the Grey Cup. We also cashed 3 more future tickets here. We had LSU under their win total. They cannot get to their win total now after their most recent loss against Florida. The Cincinnati Bengals under, which we continue to benefit from. I don't understand the numbers on the Bengals each and every week. And they fought a 4-7 now heading into their bye week. So we have an under 10.5 there that we're good on already. And I have an alternate not under 9.5, which they'd have to run the table to beat me there. Rutgers Scarlet Knights, that one gets us into the winner's column as well with an over as they win their second in a row, getting to 6 wins and cashing a ticket. So 3 good ones there on our football futures, keeping us up 6 units. And it's not a great week, but it's better than being down 6 units, as we say. All right, let's get into some other things that went on here. We're going to talk about the CFP rankings and that kind of stuff and some of the flaws that are there. We highlighted a little bit last week, but now as we continue to see how it's turning out each week, a lot to still happen. So you can't jump the gun. So it's a little bit early for that, but I'm not sure that they know what they're doing quite yet, but and again, that's tough. And we got 12 teams for the first time, so it's going to be some growing pains, I would imagine. San Jose State and Boise, this is one of the bad beats of the week. If you had San Jose State plus 14, oh, man. It was 28-21 Boise with 2:23 to go in the game. You're getting 14. You're feeling 14.5. That hook means a lot. You're feeling pretty good. Boise scores to go up 35-21 with 1:50 left. Okay, you're saying, okay, that's not that bad because San Jose State's got the ball. They're going to try to go down. As long as they don't turn it over, oh, guess what? 70-yard pick six, 42-21. Boise goes ahead. San Jose State then drives all the way down the field and has a first and goal scenario. Anyway, they run 2 plays, can't score, and on third down, they're sacked and time expires, the final 42-21. Tough one there. I've seen worse, but that was a little tough. You probably thought you were going to get out of that one with a 14-point loss and cover by that hook, but it didn't work out, and that happens quite a bit in all sports here. When you're dabbling in the sports gambling aspect of things, can turn on you in a hurry. All right, industry news. Some interesting things going on here. For the first time, I believe, 2 states eclipsed the $1 billion in sports betting handle in a single month. New York, $2.33 billion, and now New Jersey up into the billionaire section at $1.13 billion. North Carolina was third at $612 million. In Maryland, a strong performance, $593 million. In Maryland, Michigan was fifth with $582 million. Tyson versus Paul, the fight last Friday night, the most bet boxing, MMA, or combat sport match ever. Paul was a great result. All the sharp guys on Paul, but the mass amounts of tickets in public money on Tyson made it a good one for the sports books. We were happy to continue to take Tyson bets, and it paid off for us quite a bit. 85% of all wagers across sports books, platforms, and in person, 85% on Mike Tyson. So from what I gather, it was not as exciting as everybody thought it would be, and it was definitely a gimmick. So live and learn. But for us, it was good. We will take it any time, that is for sure. Underdogs of 5.5 or more. Remember this stat. We've been talking about it for basically since the first few weeks of the season. Underdogs of 5.5 or more in the NFL, 36-26-2 now, ATS, 19 outright wins this season. Best NFL cover teams to this point, of course, the Detroit Lions. Lola's very own Detroit Lions, 8-2. Steelers, 8-2. Denver Broncos, that's a surprise, but their schedule has been very easy, 8-3. Indianapolis, 8-3. Arizona, 7-3. The Chargers, 7-3. The, I almost said the Twins. the Vikings, 7-3. Not baseball season yet. And the Washington Redskins, 7-3-1 against the spread. The Titans now, the Tennessee Titans, are now the NFL's worst team against the spread this year. They're 1-9. 0-3 is a favorite, 1-6 is a dog. Oh, boy. And they've burned us several times. We were on the Titans quite a bit early in the season since I've gotten scared to give them anymore, and rightfully so because it would continue to lose. We cashed one ticket with the Titans all season. Oh, and you think it can't get any worse? How about this one? The Giants have lost 8 games by week number 10. So that's basically your 2-8. 2-8, 1-9, whatever. You've lost 8 games by week number 10 for the second straight season. That's the first time in franchise history. And I wouldn't imagine that too many franchises have that in the NFL, which is set up for parity. I'm sure some of your teams way early on when the Saints first came in, when the Browns came back to Cleveland, when Tampa Bay first came, maybe so. But a team like the Giants, a storied franchise, which they're not a storied franchise anymore, they need to keep them off the television. They're absolutely horrid. And their excuse of why they're not playing Daniel Jones, like, come on. Brian Daboll must think the media and the people are just stupid. You're not playing him because you don't want to pay him because he's not very good and you know it. Stop trying to say Tommy DeVito gives you a better chance to win. You're insulting people's intelligence. That is for sure. But that seems to happen quite a bit with coaches, with politicians. They insult your intelligence. Don't fall for it. Be smarter than them. Houston, 10-1 ATS in the first half this year. How about that one? I didn't realize this. The Texans, 10-1 first half against the spread. Keep that in mind. Primetime overs in the NFL, 20-16 with one push. So not incredibly stacked either way there. So slight advantage to the overs. NFL favorites on the season, slight advantage here, 83-78-3 ATS on the year. If you play some of those dogs and even adjusted numbers, you're probably getting a better price. So I bet the dogs, if you marked it out on a unit per unit basis, if you didn't just have straight 110 on everything, the dogs, you'd probably be a little bit of an advantage if you're a dog player. I bet, listen to this one, a better at Hard Rock Casino. I bet $1 million on the Texans, an alternate line. The Houston Texans on Monday Night Football. Now, they were a big favorite in the game against Dallas. Well, this guy bet them for $1 million plus 4.5. He was betting $1 million to win $117,000. To me, that just seems ridiculous. We've seen the NFL. I know Dallas is bad, but things happen all the time that are strange. Guys get hurt, and Houston really hasn't played that well. So anyway, that guy lucky to squeak that one out. But then again, if you got $1 million to throw around like that, you're probably not going to be hurting if you lost it. But $1 million to win $117K, that is not, that's 1 to 10 basically. You don't want to bet that. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. Gosh, people are so silly. But hey, that's why they keep the sports books open and the lights on in the casino. The Lions are now the consensus favorites to win the Super Bowl at plus 350. Now, I said the other day on the radio that I think that they are the best team right now. I think they are going to be the champions of the NFC at this point. But things can change. Injuries can happen. They can hit a snag. Something can go wrong. I don't know. Right now, the Lions, best team in the NFC by far. If you had to pick, for me, be the Lions and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Steelers, Bills, knocking on the door in the AFC. Eagles, starting to right the ship a little bit, but I just don't trust the Sirianni guy. And the NFC after that, goodness, I can't make a case for the 49ers yet. NFL lopsided ticket counts. Here we go. So let's go back to week 11. You had the Packers. 84% of tickets were on the Green Bay Packers. Guess what? They lost. They won the game by one, though. They did beat the Bears. And it's weird. At the time of last week's show, it hadn't happened yet, so I couldn't get the word out. But if I was able to have taped this show on Sunday morning and got it out to you listeners, I would have said, bet a lot on the Bears. Take the Bears plus the points. Take them on the alt line plus 3.5. Money was coming in on the Packers like you wouldn't believe. People were betting the Packers like they already had the score in the next day's paper. And it usually when that happens, you know, my staff is telling me, my God, I know the bet number for the Packers off by heart, and it's like Wednesday, and then it continues to build. That's when you usually know you want to be on the other side of that. So next time I'll try and get that information out to you, BLS_PRP, and let you know that that's where the money was, and it was the wrong side. So the Bears were the play on Sunday. I took advantage of that. So did several other people, I'm sure, as you saw that starting to come in across the books across the country when the data started coming out that people were just cutting line to bet the Packers. So Packers fail at -5.5, do win the game, though. 83% on Houston, -7.5. They did cover that. We just talked about that one. Guy gets his $1 million bet back in $117,000 as a bonus. 79% on the Lions. That one I said last week, I can't lay 14 in an NFL game. Well, I'm starting to. Lions are making me rethink that a little bit. They crush Jacksonville by, they could have scored 70 probably. They scored 52 again. So they cover easily. Minnesota, 79% on Minnesota, -6. They get the cover late, but that wasn't easy. Cincinnati, 73% on them. I'm sick of saying it. What are we doing with the Bengals and the Lions? The Lions are just wrong. San Diego let them, or LA let them off the hook too. That game shouldn't even have been close. Burrow, stat compiler, that's what he is. So remember that. Go back and do some research on it. And he's a stat compiler. That's what he is. He doesn't manage the game correctly to get his team to be able to win, and his team is very bad, and he is to blame for that. And if he didn't have Ja'Marr Chase, he would probably be pumping gas down on National Road. 70% on the Indianapolis Colts plus the 4. They do get the job done there in upset fashion. I didn't expect that one. Anthony Richardson, once in a while, he'll have an okay game. Week 12, lopsided tickets. Here we go. 86% on the Lions again. 7.5 is the number. I guess I'd probably cut line to try to bet the Lions right now. They're playing so well. 80% on Houston, minus 8.5. 77% on Denver, minus 5.5. Ooh, can't do that. 82% on the San Francisco 49ers. If Bosa doesn't play, that's going to be a problem. Plus 2.5 on the road. Man, again, getting a lot of respect for a team that's played a lot of games and looking like they are dead tired. 75% on Kansas City, minus 10.5. KC can win these games. They will. They'll beat Carolina. But, you know, they don't even care about covering, so wouldn't recommend that one either. This will be the largest handle, switching over to college football, this will be the largest handle ever on an Indiana Hoosiers football game, like by leaps and bounds, as they take on Ohio State on Saturday. Noon kick. A lot of pressure on Ohio State. We'll talk about that on the card. Ohio State probably the better team, but Indiana has done nothing to be ashamed of so far, and maybe they are legit, because they sure look legit when you look at them with your eyes. Heisman trophies. Hunter from Colorado, now the favorite at minus $4. Looks like he's probably going to win it. Genty, 4-1. Cam Ward, 11-1. Dylan Gabriel and Rourke, the quarterback for Indiana, both 30-1. Might be done deal here. Although Genty could still have some big games, and maybe if Colorado were to get beat and Hunter not play well, maybe perhaps Genty could catch him. Cam Ward, no chance. Miami might lose again this week. Who knows? Week 12 college football lopsided tickets. This is from last week. Now, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. College football seems to have turned. Early in the year, these big moves and these big ticket, lopsided ticket counts were getting there in college, and they weren't getting there in the pros. Well, now they're getting there a little bit more in the pros, and they're not getting there in college. 89% on Oregon, minus 14, lucky to win. 88% on LSU, minus 4.5 against Florida, lost the game outright. 88% on Boise. Well, we just recap that one, how they covered. That wasn't an easy one. Texas, minus 13.5, 83% on them against Arkansas. We had Arkansas here. That's a loss for Texas. 81% on Penn State. That one was good. 28.5 was a spread. They did cover that. Ohio State, 80% on them. They could not cover the 28.5 against Northwestern. 80% on Tennessee, plus 11. No good. Georgia scores late to cover there. We had that one here on Bettors Last Stand. 79% on JMU, minus 3. They won by 3. That was a push. 79% on Illinois, minus 3. That was a win. This week, week 13 already in college football, lopsided ticket counts. 90% of all tickets written to this point on Alabama, minus 14. 97% on Texas A&M, minus 3. Now, remember, Alabama plays Auburn next week. And remember, Texas A&M plays Texas next week. So maybe a couple of spots where these teams aren't real focused. 83% on JMU, minus 7. 83% on Boise, minus 23. 82% on Missouri, minus 7.5. 82% on Texas, minus 3.5. Remember, they got A&M next week. 81% on Washington State, minus 12.5. 78% on Tennessee, laying 42. Now, that one I could probably get behind, although I don't think they'll need to score 42 to win that game because their defense is very good. 77% on Colorado, minus 2.5. Again, Colorado still getting a lot of love from the betting public. All right. Let's shift over to the round ball football for a couple of minutes here and then get you back to pro football and college football, get our picks for week 12 and 13. All right, EPL soccer is back, a couple of weeks off for an international break. Didn't do much in the League of Nations, just was too tied up to pay much of attention to it, unfortunately, because that was pretty lucrative for us the last time, and I wish that I would have had some time to go through some numbers there, but I just did not have the time to do it. Nonetheless, we're back at it. We're back at it in England on Saturday, 7:30 a.m., the first kickoff. It'll be Chelsea and Leicester City doing battle here. Chelsea minus $2, Leicester plus $4.25. I can't really say that this is an easy spot for Chelsea. On the road, it's never easy, but minus $2 on the road is too much. Five of the last six in this matchup have went over the total, but I like an under here. I think Chelsea has a game on the road on Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, in the UEFA Nations League, or no, not Nations League, the UEFA Conference League, sorry. UEFA Conference League. I think they're just going to try to get in and out from this game. They've got points in six straight against Leicester. They kind of own this matchup. Leicester's winless in four overall. They're not playing very well. So I was thinking about giving you minus 0.75 on the Asian handicap for Chelsea. They could still cover that, so maybe like a 2-0 Chelsea. But I like under the three here. I think this is a very business-like job by Chelsea. I think they come in, they get a goal, they sit on it, and they get ready to go to Germany on Thursday. So we're going under and slightly into Chelsea on the Asian handicap. Brentford at Everton. It'll be Brentford plus 180, Everton plus 135. So Brentford a dog on the road. Well, they've been they're 0-5 on the road this year. So I can't back my Brentford. Hornets. Brentford on the road. We're not going to go with them this week. We usually do. Everton's winless in three, but I like both teams to score in this matchup. I think Brentford will get a goal. Three of the last five at Brentford and Everton matches have stayed under the total. Nottingham Forest at Arsenal. Arsenal minus 315, 755 on Nottingham Forest, plus 380. Now, Nottingham's already had a couple of nice wins this season. Can they do it here? I couldn't talk you off of it because Arsenal is just not playing up to snuff right now. Nottingham, though, winless in their last seven against Arsenal. So that's a problem. But Arsenal's winless in their last three overall. The total's 2.5. I think there could be some goals here. I think Forrest will score at least a goal. So I'm going to go over. Last three at Arsenal have went over in this fixture. And Arsenal's got a big game against Sporting. I'm not sure they're going to have their very best lineup out here. They're really sputtering right now. They got a big match in Portugal on Tuesday. So I could see Forest even getting a couple goals here. So I guess Nottingham Forest, not a terrible bet here. A draw, no bet, or taking a draw, plus 380. Brighton at Bournemouth. Bournemouth plus 130. They are the favorite. Brighton plus 185. Brighton's done some good work for us in recent weeks. And they're off a nice win against Manchester City, in which we had them at a nice plus price. I do like Bournemouth in this match, though. I like Bournemouth on a draw, no bet, maybe. They're plus 130 on the money line if you can do, or the three-way money line. If you can do the draw, no bet, at least you won't lose if they draw. The home team has won 5 of 6 in this meeting, and I like both teams to score in this game. So I think there'll be at least a goal each, and I like Bournemouth slightly against Brighton at home. Brighton off a very big win prior to the international break. Crystal Palace at Aston Villa. Aston Villa minus 175, plus 420 on Palace, plus $3 on the draw. Palace 0-2-3 on the road this year. Aston Villa, though, winless in five. They're struggling badly. I like this game over a little bit. I think that four of the last five went over here. I think that there's going to be some goals. Palace has picked it up a little bit offensively. I like their attack. Villa, they've given up a lot of bad goals lately, so we're going to go over the 2.5 in this game. And Aston Villa's got a big match against Juventus on Wednesday, really big match, which we'll talk about here in a moment on our Champions League side of things. But I'm not convinced that Aston Villa is going to be able to keep Crystal Palace off the score sheet, so we're going to go over the 2.5 there in what should be a pretty decent game. Maybe Villa gets the job done, snaps that five-game winning streak, but they're going to have to play a little bit better as Palace is picking it up. Wolves at Fulham. Fulham minus 160. That's a large price, but Wolves have been terrible this year. Plus 375 on Wolves, plus 290 on the draw. I like both teams to score here. Wolves 0-2-3 on the road, so I don't have much faith there. The last two meetings have went over between these two squads, and Fulham on a two-game winning streak. I'm not wild about Fulham. I'd even lean Wolves slightly in this match, but we're going to go with both teams to score. And that one, Spurs and Manchester City. I said it last week. Manchester City had lost three in a row. Well, Manchester City's now lost four in a row, as we were the benefactors of that one, as Brighton gets the job done prior to the international break. Tottenham also winless in two overall. Man, something's got to give here. Something has to give. Manchester City hosts Feyenoord on Tuesday. I don't know what kind of lineup Pep Guardiola is going to put out here. Three of the last five have went under in this series. Tottenham has not played well. They've looked very off. They got some inner team turmoil. They got a player suspended for making a comment about his own teammate. So it's pretty some ugly stuff going on there. And I can't say I'm upset about it because Tottenham I despise. But I like the game under 3.5, a little bit high there. I think City and Tottenham both come out there and really play tight in feel each other out for a while. I think maybe one goal wins this. Maybe 1-1 draw, but we're going under 3.5. And that one, Sunday, Liverpool at Southampton. Liverpool minus 370. That's actually pretty cheap. 775 on Southampton, plus 455 on the draw. Of course, we have Southampton to be relegated. Liverpool is at the top of the league. They're at the top of the Champions League. They are playing the best of anybody in Europe right now. I think a Liverpool money line in total over the three together. I don't recommend parlays very often, but in that case, I think it goes. It's a very good correlated parlay you can get. I like that. I think Liverpool rolls in this game. They're in absolute top form. They've gotten results in 13 straight matches, meaning they either drew or won, and they predominantly won most of those. I think they've won 11 of them, maybe drew two. So Liverpool went over, I think, makes a lot of sense in that matchup against Southampton, a very bad Southampton team. And then it's Ipswich at Manchester United. Manchester United around a 160 favorite here, Ipswich plus 425. I think Ipswich will get a goal here. They've been seeming to get on the score sheet. BTTS will be where I'm going there. I also think Ipswich to score over a goal, a half a goal, which means they score one, you cash at a plus price. I think that's a good bet as well. 2.5 is the total. We lean to the over there. These teams haven't met since 1994. I'm sorry, they've met since 1994. Ipswich hasn't beaten Manchester United since 1994. So long time now, they haven't been in the same league all the time. So they haven't played every single year. And Manchester United, maybe one eye on their Thursday contest against Bodo Glimt out of Norway. Potentially, Ipswich could be a little trickier. So that's why I like Ipswich. That's why I like both teams to score in that one. And that is our EPL breakdown for the week here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 109, getting you ready for high school football action here on the Watchdog Network. Tonight, it'll be Wheeling Park hosting Musselman over at Wheeling Island Stadium, 7 o'clock. Can hear that one on WVLY and on WatchdogNetwork.com, and also on WatchdogNetwork.com and on WKKX. Number 12, Nichols County at number 5, Wheeling Central over at Bishop Schmidt Field. We'll be doing the pregame for that and getting out to the crews on each game. Nice to have the West Virginia High School football back, and it's nice to have the Champions League back. We'll have some Champions League action Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the Europa League on Thursday. So it'll give you something to follow during your Thanksgiving week. It's always a tough week because you don't know, the sporting calendar is a little bit weird, and you're looking for stuff during the day. Maybe you took some days off, and you're spending time around the house or whatever. Yeah. Take a look at some of these soccer matches. They're right on during the day. You can find them at noon our time and 3 o'clock our time are the two time slots. Let's start at the top. Real Madrid, a Wednesday match against Liverpool. They're on the road at Liverpool. So this is going to be a tricky spot. I like the game over the total. Both these teams, exceptionally good. Real Madrid, the defending champions of the Champions League, they haven't played quite as well as you would like to have seen them. They've lost two matches already. They got two wins. Liverpool's the top class. They're 4-0. They're 10-1 goal differential. They're dominating everybody. I like goals at Anfield. Real Madrid, Vinicius Jr., if they're healthy with Mbappe, they'll put a couple goals in. But I think it'll be a really good clash, maybe potentially a clash in the knockout stage, a little preview of that. A Tuesday match. It'll be Sporting. They are number 2 in the table so far, and they are 17 games unbeaten. They're playing great football out of Portugal. But I don't know. This is a tough spot for them. They take on Arsenal, and Arsenal plus 130 favorite at Portugal. I'm going to go with Sporting here, plus 185. I hate the Portuguese teams. They drive me insane. I never can figure them out. Benfica, Porto, Sporting, I'm always wrong on them. So maybe that means play Arsenal. Maybe that's why Arsenal is favored in this match. But I'm going to take a shot. Portugal, Sporting at home in Lisbon. I think they get the job done, plus 185. We're going to take a stab that they can keep it on the struggling Gunners and get a result there. Wednesday match, that's a Tuesday match there, Sporting and Arsenal. A Wednesday match, the number 3 team in the table, it's Monaco. They'll take on Benfica, another one of our Portuguese friends. I like Benfica here. No, I'm sorry, I like Monaco. I'm sorry, I had Benfica circle, but my bet is actually on Monaco. So I like Monaco at home. They're plus 120. Like I say, I don't trust these Portuguese teams when they leave Portugal. It's even hard to trust them when they're in Portugal. So I'm going with Monaco. They've played very well. They got a couple results for us earlier. They're 3-1. They got a 10-4 goal differential. We'll take Monaco at home against Benfica on Wednesday. Another Wednesday match. Borussia Dortmund. They're at Dynamo Zagreb. Now, I was looking through Zagreb's fixtures, the teams that they've played and the goals that they've scored, and they haven't really played strong, class of teams. They're 2-1-1. They got a they're being outscored 12-10. So that tells you they're at a pretty good spot in the table, but they haven't played really anybody. Borussia Dortmund hit a little bit of a lull here. They haven't played very well. We'll see if they're freshened up after the break. I like them. You're getting them in at minus 130 here. It's a very cheap price. They're the much better team. And though they're on the road, Zagreb, a beautiful place to go this time of year, they may enjoy it. I like Borussia Dortmund to win this match. I think they really look like a team that could come into form. They take on Freiburg. They do have a tough match, though, on the weekend, so I'm a little bit worried. If they don't get too worn out in that match, I think they roll against Zagreb. So take Borussia Dortmund on the money line on Wednesday. A Tuesday match, Atalanta at BSC Young Boys. This is a Tuesday match. I like Atalanta in this game to win by over a goal, so we're going to go with the 0.75 on the Asian handicap. You can get that around minus 120 or so. Even want to take it up to minus 1.25 and get a plus price, go for it. I think Atalanta, who's been very good defensively, they have a 5-0 goal advantage so far. Now, they've played four matches, and they've outscored their teams 5-0. So, very, very, very tight at the back. We had an under with them the last round of games, and that cashed for us. So, we're going to go with Atalanta to probably shut out BSC Young Boys on the road. Manchester City, a Tuesday match. They take on Feyenoord, as I talked about earlier. City's surrendering a lot of goals right now. They got a lot of problems defensively at the back with Stones and Walker and some of these guys banged up, not playing up to snuff. They're not having as much of the ball with De Bruyne and Rodri out. So I think they could be had a little bit in the back. So we'll go with both teams to score. Feyenoord, the Dutch side, against Manchester City, who's struggling quite a bit. Juventus, a Wednesday match at Aston Villa. We hit on this earlier. I think there's some value there. Juventus has picked it up a little bit. They started the season off very, very rocky. They're playing better football now. Going to take them plus $2 to take on a very, very poor form Aston Villa. So we'll go with Juventus on the road at plus $2. A Wednesday match, Celtic at Bruges. Actually, Celtic hosts Bruges. We're going to go with both teams to score. Bruges has impressed me. Celtic's goal differential is 9-9. So they've scored 9 and they've given up 9. Bruges surrendered 6, scored 3. But Bruges has played okay. I think their form has been, they've had some bad luck. It's been a little bit not up to what they've actually played. The level they played has been better than their results, is how I'll say it. So we're going to go with Bruges to score a goal here and Celtic to score a goal. So both teams to score, and Celtic and Bruges on Wednesday. We talked about Dynamo Zagreb already. Tuesday match, Bayern Munich and PSG. Maybe the match of the entire Champions League so far. Oh, I guess Liverpool and Real Madrid might also have that. So, Bayern Munich versus PSG. This is at Bayern Munich. The last three of these two, the last three times these two have met, they went under. So, I like under 3.5 here. Not solely from that, but just by the way the teams have played. Bayern Munich does not play the free-flowing style that they once did. PSG also adapting to life without Kylian Mbappe. So, things are a little bit different. Winning some lower-scoring matches. So, we're going under on Tuesday between Bayern Munich and PSG. We hit on Feyenoord already. Atletico Madrid, a Tuesday match. They are minus 150 at Sparta Prague. Now, Sparta Prague, one of the bottom feeders here. They've given up 8. They scored 5. They have just 2 points so far. They're just not very good. And I think Atletico is starting to say, boy, we got to kick it into gear here. We're 23rd in the table for a team that's normally in the knockout stage every single year. So I like Atletico to play with a little bit of urgency here at Sparta. And Prague, a nice place to go visit this time of year, but probably not the most difficult place to play, especially when you're the more talented team. So we're going with Atletico, minus 150 on the road on the money line there. Wednesday match, Girona. They'll be at Sturm Graz. Girona needs to go. They're 29th in the table right now. Been outscored by 4. I like them here. Plus 115 on the road. Sturm Graz has just been a team that, to me, is just way overmatched. They've scored 1 goal so far in 4 matches. So I think that Girona, who scored 4 goals, are just going to be better than them. You're getting a plus price on the road. I think Girona gets the job done in the Champions League on Wednesday for that one. And then our final match in the Champions League, it will be, let's see, what do I got? Oh, I missed the game. I forgot to write down who Red Star Belgrade played. Red Star Belgrade is the team that we're going with. Let me see if I have it here somewhere else. I don't think I do. I don't think I wrote it down correctly. But so I'm going with Red Star Belgrade in a draw no bet scenario at home. So keep an eye out for them. You can also see them listed under a strange alias name. So look that up before, and I'll put it I'll put it in the BLS underscore PRP when I recap all these. And then going back to domestic leagues real quickly, we usually don't give out a whole lot of Serie A and French League One plays, but I thought it was worth looking at here. AC Milan and Juventus. AC Milan has a trip to Slava Bratislava and on Tuesday in the Champions League. It's a good haul. And Juventus, of course, comes over to play Aston Villa. So I like this match under 2.5 on Saturday in Serie A between AC Milan and Juventus. I think they're just going to want to get out of there. Both teams play low scoring anyway. And it's, you know, a kind of a domestic rivalry game. So we'll say under 2.5 there. If you find a 3, that'd be even better. But I like under in Milan and Juventus on Saturday at 12 o'clock. And then a Friday game, PSG at Toulouse. Actually, they're home against Toulouse. Of course, we talked about them playing Bayern Munich, a huge game. It's going to be very important to both them and Bayern for their future here in the Champions League. I like both teams to score in the PSG-Toulouse match. Toulouse, not terrible. And I think PSG will have one eye on Bayern Munich, which could make them a little susceptible. So we'll go with both teams to score at about minus 125 PSG in Toulouse on Friday in France League number one. All right, let's keep it rolling here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 110. We're time to get over to the pigskin football. That's what everybody likes to talk about this time of year. And we will indulge you here now as we roll along getting ready for high school football action here on a Football Friday presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentleman's Club. Also, be sure to stop over and see our friends at the Brownie House. Yes, brownies.com. Visit there today. Use the promo code PINEROOM for 20% off your order. Get some stuff ready for your Christmas parties, your Thanksgiving party. You still got time. If you order those things, I guarantee you they'll be here by Thanksgiving if you don't live in Alaska or Washington State. I'm pretty sure they'll make it to you on time. So check out our friends at the Brownie House, yesbrownies.com. Visit there today. And we're getting ready for high school football action here on The Watchdog tonight. That's right, we're back. West Virginia playoffs, Wheeling Central and Wheeling Park both in action. Pregame show coming your way right after Bettors Last Stand, show number 110. Let's go into pro football. Let's start it off Sunday card. Kansas City Chiefs at the Carolina Panthers. KC minus 11, total 42.5. This opened 41.5, now up to 43. And the Chiefs had their 15-game win streak snapped last week. Everybody kind of thought that might happen. I was on the other side. I thought maybe Mahomes could pull it out, and he would have. Josh Allen doesn't prove that he's the MVP of the league so far with that incredible fourth down play. If they were to have kicked the field goal there, pretty certain that Kansas City would have come down the field and scored. We've seen that time and time again, and we'll see it time and time again. But I think the Chiefs bounce back pretty good here. I won't lay 11. They just mess around. They don't even need to worry about covering because they're just good enough. But I do like under to a certain extent. It got bet up to 43, but I don't think Carolina will score a lot on the Chiefs. Chiefs defense, still pretty good. I know Buffalo got them a little bit last week, but tough atmosphere. It won't be quite as tough this week. Dallas at Washington, the Commanders. Well, I like calling them the Redskins still. That's what they'll always be to me. Redskins minus 10, total 45. I like the team total of the Redskins over. I haven't seen what it's posted yet, but I think that's probably going to be a good play. And then Washington, I know I don't like to lay 10 in this game, but man, Dallas is bad. And Washington seems like a team that they've beat on the teams that are bad so far. So they've covered some of those bigger spreads so far this year. I think they probably do it again here against the Cowboys, as the Cowboys got one eye on Thanksgiving Day. And actually, they don't have any eyes left. They're a mess right now. Jerry's a mess. Big Mike's a mess. Just can't bet Dallas. So I'm looking Redskins team total over and the Redskins minus the 10. Maybe a lean to the over in the game too. Dallas did enough to get the game over the other night against Houston. Detroit at Indianapolis. What can I say about the Lions? They're minus 7.5, total 50.5. Best start since 1934. They're the best team right now in the league. Can they continue it? I hope, but no guarantees. It is the NFL. I'm going with the Lions. 7.5 doesn't seem like enough here. I think the Colts stink. They got lucky last week. Richardson's not playing a good game, even if you call it good. He's not playing a not bad game 2 weeks in a row. So we're going to go with the Lions. And then these Lions overs, to me, they've just been fool's gold. Like, they're really that easy. 50.5. The Lions are scoring 52 themselves last week. I like the Lions a roll here. I like this game over the total as well. Tennessee at Houston. Houston minus 8.5. 41.5 is the total here. Man, Houston's 3-0 against the South, their own division, for the first time since 2016. This thing opened 9. It's gone to 8.5, and it went down to 7.5, so I don't really know. Some weird movement on this one. Tennessee, or the total, rather, 43 it opened. It's down to 41. I was leaning to the over in this game, but I don't really have a strong play. I'm not certain on Houston. Like, I think they're better than most team, but they're not playing as well as they did last year. Some injuries, maybe they get it going, but their offensive line is a serious concern. But I'm not sure Tennessee can make them pay. Tampa at the New York Giants. Oh, man. Tampa -5.5, total 41.5. This open 3 up to 5.5. Looks like Mike Evans will be back. That's pretty good. How about this one? And this doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. And so these aren't trends that I would say I'll like hang everything on. But the last 10 times that Tampa Bay has had Carolina coming up on their schedule, they're 0-10. So that means they've lost before they've played Carolina 10 straight times. Not like it's different teams, it's different coaches. Like, you wouldn't think that would even be a thing. But I got to at least tell it to you. 0-10 before Carolina. Crazy. But I think Tampa could be a decent spot here. I lean to the over. I don't want to lay 5.5 on the road. I don't know what to make of the Giants with DeVito. Maybe Tampa to score on defense would be worth it, but no official play for me in that one. Minnesota at Chicago. Oh, Chicago. We had them last week. They covered, but they should have probably won. They're catching 3 at home against the Vikings. Total 39.5. I like this game under quite a bit. I think the Viking defense is going to be a big problem for Caleb Williams. Last 3 in the series have been under, and the Vikings have won 3 straight on the road. So maybe it all adds up for the Vikings. I was going to lean Bears in the game because I know the Bears are going to come up with a decent performance. But Brian Flores and the Vikings defense, I can't take a shot with the Bears with him. Going to go under the 39, though. I feel very good about that one. New England and Miami. They're at Miami. Miami -7, the total 46. Miami Dolphins have won 8 straight against New England. They're 9-1 ATS against New England in the last 10. Boy, since Tom Brady left, everything's went bad for the Patriots. Actually, a part of that might even still be with Brady because they did struggle down there even sometimes with him early in the year. Total was 43.5 on the openers, up to 46. Now, I like the over in this game. Drake May, I can't believe I'm saying it, but he's not that bad. He's improving, and I think he can get some points up on the board. I don't love the Miami Dolphins defense at all. I think their offense is starting to click a little, so we're going over 46.5 Dolphins and Patriots. Denver at the Raiders. Denver -5.5 on the road. I can't believe it. 41 is the total here. It's open 3. It's up to 5.5 now. People all over the Broncos. Broncos have really had an easy schedule. If you go back and look, I bet they have the lowest aggregate win total versus for the teams they've beaten of any team in the league. Las Vegas Raiders, they are they're really bad. They can't seem to get out of their own way. Damian Pierce is just boy. He's gotten in over his head, I think. But, man, 5.5 at home in a division game. Oh, man, I don't know. They've covered their last 8 at home against Denver. Something's got to give here. I lean Raiders, but I can't recommend it as an official play because they're just so bad. Arizona at Seattle. This is a pick'em game. 47.5 the total. I saw some ones out there for Seattle. I like this matchup for Arizona. I think they run it well. Seattle's had trouble with the run. Seattle off a big win against the 49ers. Arizona off a bye week. This is one of those spot plays in the NFL where the spot for the Cardinals says a lot more about, or like says the spot is right for them versus the spot for Seattle. Now, if the weather's bad, could be a problem, but we're going Cardinals on the road to get the win against the Seahawks. San Francisco at Green Bay. This one, another one, struggling with this. This NFC West is giving me some issues, but we were high on all 3 of those teams other than the 49ers. We have win total bets on all of them. Green Bay -2.5 at home, open 1. 47.5 is the total. Now, if Bosa doesn't play for the 49ers, that concerns me, and I probably can't play him. But I like him in the spot. Green Bay off of an emotional win that they shouldn't have had. Jordan Love's still not playing well. Brock Purdy's got a bad shoulder. McCaffrey's been iffy. Debo Samuel looks like he's an old man. The 49ers are a tired team. I thought maybe this would be a spot they could sneak up on the Packers, but now without Bosa, that worries me quite a bit. Their pass rush needed him. They couldn't get stops last week without him when he came off the field. If he plays, I'm in on the 49ers. I'm going to give him one last chance. If he doesn't, maybe under. Maybe under is the way to go in this game. Or maybe you think the Packers because they're going to just get whatever they want without Bosa in there, maybe. Philadelphia at the Rams. It'll be Philadelphia -3 on the road, the total 49. They've beaten the Rams the last 3 on the road. But I like the game under the total, 49. I think this is a tight game. I think both teams feeling each other out. They both have some good strength on strength here. Philly secondary's really picked it up. Some of their young guys really playing well. So we're going to go under 49 in Philly and the Rams. Baltimore at the Chargers on Monday night. Baltimore -3 on the road, total 50.5. Baltimore 15-2 off of division road games. So bad performance last week. I expect them to pick it up. I like this game over. I think both Harbaugh coaches will be ready to go here, coaching against each other. The total 48 up to 50.5. Obviously, some other people like the over too. If it gets too crazy, I probably can't do it. But I think this will be a good test. Chargers right on that outside cusp of teams that could contend in the AFC. So we're going to look at Raven team total and the over in that game. Ravens should be able to bounce back, although the Chargers defense is very, very good. So maybe that's not as easy as I think. All right, and then Thanksgiving, we're not going to have a show, a Bettors Last Stand show next week during the Thanksgiving week. I will be out of town, but going to at least give you a little rundown of what to expect on Thanksgiving. The Lions right now 10.5 against the Bears, the total 48.5. I would probably lay that with the Lions. I can't believe I'm saying it, but the Bears in that place on Thanksgiving Day, I don't think that's going to turn out well for them. I also think that the Lions defense could be ferocious that day, maybe a Lions defensive score. And then you got the Giants at the Cowboys. What a terrible game. Dallas minus 2.5, 39.5 is the total. I don't know when the Dallas played in a good game on Thanksgiving Day. It's been years. I feel like Michael Irvin still played. My boy Kevin Williams. Dallas, too, and I can't recommend either one of these teams. I probably lean Giants. I probably lean under in this game, but I'll have these up, BLS underscore PRP, what I'm going to do on Thanksgiving Day. And then the final game, the nightcap, Green Bay minus 3.5, total 47.5. And the way I look at this game, if Green Bay is to lose to San Francisco, I'm going to be on Green Bay. And if they are to beat San Francisco, I'm probably going to be on the Dolphins because I expect the Dolphins to probably beat the Patriots even if they don't cover. So I like to play teams off of the high because if you're not very good, you can't stay up for long. So potentially this game to me could be an under as well, 47.5. I think Green Bay at home defensively, they're good enough to be able to stymie the Dolphins a little bit. And you might have some weather. So keep an eye on that. And again, I'll have these posted at BLS underscore PRP, the Thanksgiving Day breakdown, and anything else that I do on Thanksgiving weekend we'll have up there. All right, time to talk some college football now. Now the playoffs are nearly upon us. We got a couple weeks left. We got rivalry week next week, which doesn't seem to mean quite as much. We had the week 13, 12-team playoff projection come out on Tuesday night. And some of the things that caught my eye were that it's just laughable that Miami and Boise State are in bye spots. And same with Texas. Texas's resume, we talked about it last week. Again, I'm not a Texas hater at all. Sarkisian's done a good job. They're getting better. They're getting back to being the Texas that we kind of knew. Actually, since I've been alive, Texas has been good like 2 years ever. But they pretend like they've been good for a long time. Anyway, I like Texas. I think I like the school. I think it's a cool place, and I'm all for it. But they're not that good, and they haven't beat anybody yet. Their strength of schedule is pathetic. It would be like the worst in any conference in the country. And to me, they're a number two seed. People got to use their brains here. They're not using their brains. They're valuing win-loss more than actual competition. You got Alabama. You got freaking Alabama's a 9 seed. Alabama, go look at the wins that they've had and go look at the losses that they've had. Alabama, other than the Vanderbilt, which Vanderbilt has improved quite a bit, Alabama has the best resume of any team in this playoff field. Second is Georgia. And there's really not a close third to those two teams. The SEC really, truly deserves 5 teams in here. And I know people talk about SEC bias, blah, 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 blah. Bottom line is when they come out and play these teams from the other conferences each and every year, they beat the hell out of them. So you can't say it's bias because it's just they're better. Not all the time. This year, they happen to actually have legitimate contenders. I wasn't a big fan of them always having these garbage teams like Texas A&M and Ole Miss before they were good. They'd be in the top 25 and everybody be talking about, oh, they got another power win over this team, or South Carolina sneaks in there for a week and Florida, and then they're not very good. But these are like quality teams. If you look at, Missouri, we'll throw them out there, not any good. Go up South Carolina. They're 18th in the rankings this week. They're not bad. They are pretty good. They're 30-1 to make the playoff. I couldn't talk somebody out of that. They have a game against Clemson. Some things fall their way. Maybe they get in. I think that's worth a bet. Texas A&M, I will say, this is the best Texas A&M team that I've seen in a while. I still don't think they're good. They lost to South Carolina. They were humiliated. They lost to Notre Dame. To me, they're not a playoff team. They're all right on the cusp. Now, if they pound Texas, then you got to start to think, maybe they get in there. And I'm not certain that they won't be a problem for Texas next week. I'm not trying to slander Texas or, you know, make them look inferior, but they just haven't played anybody. Miami hasn't played anybody. My own favorite team. They stink. They're a 3 seed. It's a joke. They should be. Miami probably should be ranked in this like 12th or 13th. That's how bad they really are. They're better than some teams, but if any team has a defense, they're going to beat Miami. And then Boise State, yeah, they played Oregon tough. I'm not certain how good Oregon is. I really don't know who the best team is. All I can tell you is this. Right now, to me, really good value on Georgia at 5-1. They're a team that I think is almost a lock to be in here. They're 11th. They play UMass. I think it's UMass. Yeah, some team they're going to kill. And then they play Georgia Tech at home. Georgia Tech's okay, but Georgia should never lose to them. I think they're set. And right now, they're projected to play Penn State, who is the 6th. Penn State might not even beat Minnesota this week. I think Georgia's a great play. I think Alabama is a great play. But the problem is, one of these teams may have to play in the SEC championship game, which could give them a third loss and could knock them out when they're clearly one of the best 12 teams. So that goes back to the whole bad beats and the frustration that I have with this whole playoff thing. I hate this thing. I think it should just go back to 4. I thought 4 was too many. We know each and every year who the best teams are. Each and every single year, you put these teams, the 1 and 2 teams get the play. They're the best teams. When 1 plays 4 and 2 plays 3, most of the time, that works out. Now, last year is pretty tight, so I will say 4 teams made sense. But we don't need any more than 4. I can tell you who the 4 best teams are right now, and you don't even have to look through any numbers. All you got to do is watch the games, and I'll tell you that Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State are clearly the 3 best teams. Now, Oregon, they beat Ohio State at home. I would probably put them. I will say the 4 spot might be up for grabs this year. You can make a case for Oregon. You can make a case for Texas. You can maybe make a case for Indiana if they were to beat Ohio State, but I'm not sure that'll be. And you could also make a case for Ole Miss, whose A game looks pretty strong. But there's no better A game that I've seen this year than Georgia and Alabama. And I know that gets old and people get sick of hearing it, but somebody's got to beat them. Texas couldn't do it. I mean, I don't know. We'll see how it shakes out. But to me, the 3 of the teams that you would have had in the 4-team playoff, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, they would have been there, at least had a shot. Georgia got screwed last year. Florida State thought they had a beef. Georgia had the beef. And it showed. They pounded them in the bowl game. So, yeah, very frustrating. But right now, I've taken it through. Oregon's the 1 seed, Texas the 2, Miami the 3, Boise the 4. Those 4 teams right now set to get byes. 5-12 matchup, Ohio State, BYU. The winner of that would play Boise State. Alabama Notre Dame winner 8-9 game would play Oregon. Look out, Oregon. Look out, Notre Dame. I tell you, if Alabama were to get that, and they have to go with through Notre Dame, Oregon, and then maybe Ohio State. Yeah, I like them there. Georgia and Penn State. Georgia the 11 at Penn State the 6. The winner plays Miami. Probably either one of them teams that win that game will beat Miami. But Georgia's going to pound Penn State. Ole Miss and Indiana, going to be trouble for Indiana. Ole Miss will win that game. Ole Miss probably beats Texas. Probably a Georgia-Ole Miss rematch in the semifinals. That's just the way it looks to me right now. But again, going back to some wagers that I think are worth it. Tennessee minus 135 to get in. They're probably one of the 12 best teams. They probably deserve to be in here. Will they make it in? I don't know. SMU, another team, it's going to depend on them in Miami, how that all shakes out. Clemson still in the mix in the ACC. Right now, Colorado minus 120 to make the playoff. Can they represent the very bad Big 12 who shouldn't even have a team in this? Texas A&M, I mentioned them, plus 350 to make it. BYU plus 330. I wouldn't recommend it. South Carolina is the one bomb that I would take a shot on. If somehow a few of these other teams were to get beat, maybe South Carolina sneaks in there, and because they've got a decent resume. So we'll see. If they can, especially they got to beat Clemson, of course. All right, let's get on to the games for this week here as we roll along. Bettor's Last Stand. Show number 110 coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios. Getting you ready for high school football action on the Watchdog on a Football Friday presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club. The IBEW game of the week, it'll be Wheeling Central hosting Nichols County at 7 o'clock. You can hear that on WatchdogNetwork.com. And on WKKX and in our health plan game of the week, it'll be Wheeling Park hosting Musselman in the first round of the Quad A playoffs at Wheeling Island Stadium. And you can hear that one on WVLY and WatchdogNetwork.com. All right, let's get it going here. Friday games, Purdue at Michigan State. Purdue catching 13.5. It's up to 14 now. 47.5 is the total. This was the only Friday game that I had any interest in. Purdue snapped an 8-game losing streak to Michigan State last year. Michigan State's lost 3 straight. They've been struggling. If Purdue's going to get a cover, I think this could be the one. So I can't believe it, but I'm going to recommend a small play on Purdue plus 14 on Friday night. Ole Miss at Florida. Ole Miss minus 10, total 55.5. The dog has covered 6 out of 7 in the series. I don't think that happens this time. Florida off a big upset over LSU in the swamp. Florida is improving. I will say that. But Ole Miss, their A game is pretty good. And I'm going with Ole Miss on the road here. I'm not a Lane Kiffin guy. Every time I back this guy, he falls apart on me. But Florida to be able to do this 2 weeks in a row, I know they're at home. I don't see it happening. I think Ole Miss comes in there and kicks their butt pretty good. And Ole Miss needs to, because Ole Miss continues to have pressure on them. This SEC championship, how this is going to shake out right now, Ole Miss in the 9 spot, man, I mean, these teams don't even want to play that. But you got to keep winning. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You don't want to be in that game, but you got to keep winning to try to get in the game because you can't take another loss. So I like Ole Miss. I think they roll it up on Florida. Indiana at Ohio State. Game's been talked about a ton here on the Watchdog Network throughout the week. You'll hear more leading up to it. Ohio State now up to a 13.5-point favorite. This opened 11.5. The total 52. The over 7 overs in the last 10 meetings between these two teams. I think that could be a decent play. Here's the way I look at this. And I went back and forth. Originally, I saw the 10.5 come out. I was like, man, I love Ohio State. They're going to kill Indiana. But then I went back and I remembered what I'd said to myself here many times on the show and on the radio throughout the last few weeks. I've watched Indiana play a few times, and they are pretty good. And I know they got a lot of small school transfers and stuff, and they probably have nobody the caliber of Ohio State. But something about them, they have a collectiveness, a team unity that I don't see from some of the other big teams, including Ohio State. Ohio State has struggled in the first half in a lot of games. I think Indiana could maybe be real, but I don't know. I can't recommend anything here. I'm leaning to the under in this game. I think it'll be a really tightly played game. Ohio State knows if they lose this game, I think they're probably out of the playoff. But who knows? They are a big brand, so maybe they still sneak in. But Indiana, to me, if they keep this close, they're probably in the playoff. So a lot on the line here. I think this is a tight game. I like the under 52. But if I had to roll the dice right now, my gut feeling says Indiana might be for real here. Now, common sense says Ohio State will win this game by 20. But my gut feeling says Indiana. So do with that as you choose. SMU at Virginia. It'll be SMU minus 9.5, the total 58. SMU got a scare at home last week. Of course, they didn't do us any favors. We had them. They didn't do a very good job. But I like this game over. Virginia can move the ball a little bit. SMU gave up some big plays last week. I think they might again this week. We'll go over 58. Mustangs and Cavs at noon on Saturday. Wake Forest at Miami. Miami minus 24, 65 the total. Miami humiliated by Georgia Tech 2 weeks ago. Just an awful performance. I like over a little bit in this game. Miami defense can't stop anybody. Wouldn't surprise me if they lost, but Wake Forest is really bad. North Carolina on the road at BC. Another noon kick in the ACC. North Carolina's won 3 straight. They're minus 3 on the road. That's up from a minus 1 on the open for Carolina. They're now up to 3. BC, tough loss at SMU last week. I think BC could be a little sneaky here, just a little bit. I don't love BC by any means, but I think that they could be a little bit sneaky. I lost my pen, but nonetheless, I don't need my pen. I lean BC in that game. Connecticut at Syracuse. Syracuse minus 10.5. The total 54.5. This is a weird one. Connecticut hasn't played a road game since September the 12th. So that could be a problem. Carrier Dome never easy. Connecticut's played pretty well at home, so I don't know. I might take the points. I've not been impressed with this new coach of Syracuse. I know they wanted to get rid of Babers, but this guy, he worries me a little bit. Iowa at Maryland. Maryland catching 6.5 at home against Iowa. 45.5 is the total. Iowa lost at UCLA 2 weeks ago. We had the Bruins there. Bruins have been a strong cover team for us. Maryland's lost 3 straight. They got Penn State up next. If they don't win this, they might not win again. Small lean to Maryland catching the touchdown at home. Illinois at Rutgers. Rutgers, red hot. Get us over our win total. Cash a ticket for us here on Bettors Last Stand. Scarlet Knights catching 1 at home to Illinois. Total 48. And the last two games for Illinois. They've been under on the road, so I like under here. I think Illinois seems to play a little bit more conservative style on the road, so we're going to go under. I know Rutgers will play conservative. We'll go under 48 there in Scarlet Knights and Illini. Moving it down to UMass in Georgia, 42 is the number here, 55. Georgia names the score here. Probably would lean to the over. Think they'll try to get their offense clicking and get some good momentum heading into Georgia Tech and the playoff. UTEP at Tennessee. Tennessee minus 42. Total 52.5. I like this game under. I don't think UTEP will cross midfield in this game. Tennessee defense is very strong. I think they keep it very low scoring, win this game like 43-0, maybe 43-3, 41-3, something like that. Even 43-7 would keep it under. All right, moving on down our next game, Arizona TCU. TCU minus 12, total 59.5. These Big 12 games are really, really hard for me. Arizona, all right, last week they showed up. Will they show up this week, catching 12 on the road? 12's a lot to lay. I lean TCU in the game, but probably would go towards the over in that contest. Another Big 12 matchup. Two teams hard to figure. Colorado playing well. 2.5-point favorite on the road. Total 59.5. Kansas off the big win. Upset of BYU. Colorado knows they got to win to make the playoff. I think Dillon has them ready. I lean Buffalo's in this matchup, and they probably, if you get it less than 3, I think that's a good number. BYU off a bad loss. Arizona State, they've won 3 straight. They're laying 3 at home. Can BYU bounce back? Probably so, but don't love anything here. I'd lean Cougars. I just hope that they're not so demoralized that they just quit. Although they're still in the playoff rankings, so they probably will be remotivated and try to get a win here at the Sun Devils on Saturday afternoon. Texas Tech at Oklahoma State. Talk about a team that's packed it in. The Oklahoma State Cowboys catching 3.5 at home. 67.5 is the total. I like Texas Tech here. I think they go in there and smash Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, the wheels completely fell off, and there's no finding them for Gundy. He's on to next season. It's over for the Cowboys. UCF at the West Virginia Mountaineers. UCF, Gus Malzahn, a 3-point road favorite. The total 63.5. It's open. UCF 1. It's up to 3. What is up with West Virginia? They can't win games at home. They're 2-4. One of the wins is Albany. I lean Mountaineers here. I don't trust Gus Malzahn at all. I think Neil Brown's the better coach. I know people will throw things at the radio when I say that, but I don't know. I'm not as down on Neil Brown as everybody else, but I can't play West Virginia under anymore. Their defense flat out stinks. They gave up a boatload of points last week to Baylor. Probably lean to the over 63.5. This could be whoever has the ball last kind of game. Wisconsin at Nebraska. Nebraska minus 2.5. The total 42.5. Wisconsin's won 10 straight in this matchup. Well, that's not happening anymore. It stops there. Nebraska will win this game. I like the Huskers minus the 2.5. Matt Rhule gets the job done over a team, Wisconsin, who's flirted with being okay, but they're just not very good for Luke Fickell. Penn State at Minnesota. Penn State minus 11.5 on the road. Total 45.5 in this game. So I've been a proponent of Penn State all year. I thought James Franklin's is an awful coach. I thought they played okay against Ohio State. Their red zone offense, their play calling was dreadful. This Tyler Warren, I think his name's Tyler Warren, the tight end 44, this guy might be the best player in college football. If you haven't seen him play yet, please watch. He is incredible. He does everything. He runs out of the backfield. He's thrown passes. He's caught passes. He's impossible to cover. And why they don't make him the focal point of their offense, I'll never understand. If they were to have thrown the ball to him 4 times or let him run the ball 2 times and threw to him another, the 2 times they were on the goal line against Ohio State, they would have won that game. Mark my words, they would have won that game. If anybody could talk some sense into James Franklin, he's got a sleeping giant here. Penn State could be a problem for people in that playoff if they get there. But I don't know. This game right here would worry me a ton if I'm a Penn State fan. I like Minnesota and PJ Fleck here catching 12 at home. The last 5 of the last 7 in the matchup have went over. I like the over as well. So we're going over 45.5. Penn State offense to me is still pretty good. And I like the Golden Gophers to score some points here too. I think they've been pretty strong at home. So I'm going with Fleck and the boys to cover that number. Not sure they'll win, but it wouldn't surprise me if they beat Penn State. Northwestern at Michigan. Michigan minus 11, a total of 37. 7 of the last 10 under here. I'm going right to the under. Michigan's won 7 straight in the series. Northwestern gave a valiant effort last week, but they just don't have enough. We'll go with the under, the 37 at Michigan, and as they host Northwestern. Stanford at Cal. Oh, these are two teams fighting it out for win total bets for us. So too bad they both can't win here. Cal minus 14, total 54.5. Cal's won the last three in the series. I think they bounced back after a terrible performance last week. Stanford with the upset at our expense. So it helped our win total bet, but it hurt our bets last week. Louisville, horrible performance. Stanford, I don't think they have anything for Cal. Cal wins this one big, minus the 14. Kentucky at Texas. Texas minus 20.5, total 47. A&M on deck for Texas. Kentucky has not beaten a FBS team since September. Look at their schedule. It's embarrassing. They've completely packed it in since they beat Ole Miss. I like over in this game, and I think Texas offense gets clicking, and I think they get ready for A&M. I think they run up the score as much as they can. I don't know if they'll cover. I would worry about a backdoor, but I like over the 47. Pitt at Louisville. Louisville minus 8, total 57.5. Both teams coming off of devastating losses. Louisville had no business losing as a 3-touchdown favorite. Pitt had the game won, had the game lost. Had the game won, had the game lost. Pitt's really, really on a slippery slope here. I look for Louisville to come back here, bounce back hard, win this game by at least 2 touchdowns, minus the 8. And I like the game under 57.5. I think Pitt is in big, big trouble. They may not win again the rest of the season. Missouri at Mississippi State. Missouri minus 7.5, total 57. This is the last game of the year for Missouri. I think they want to go out with a bang. Mississippi State's been very, very bad at home and away. They're not very good. They got the Egg Bowl next week. They'll be putting all their eggs literally in that basket to try to take out Ole Miss and ruin their playoff hopes. I don't think they're even have any potential to do that, but they're going to think they do. So I think they overlook Missouri here. I think Missouri whacks them pretty good, minus the 7.5. Army at Notre Dame. This game is drawing a lot of interest. People, public side is Army, which would worry me. The Navy was a public side, too. Notre Dame minus 14.5. It actually dropped from 17.5 down to 14.5. So what's that tell you? People are going against the Irish here. So maybe a little bit of a concern there if you're an Irish fan, but I don't think so. I think they've kicked it in gear, and they're beating up on all these bad teams. And, you know, I'm not saying that Notre Dame's played a weak schedule, but it hasn't panned out to be as good as they thought it would be. Army's been better than people think, but they're still Army in today's modern football world. This game's at Yankee Stadium. I like the over, 44.5. That's where I'm going to go. I would expect the Irish to take care of business, needing the win to keep in the playoffs as Northern Illinois continues to tumble in the MAC. Baylor at Houston. Baylor, where'd they come from all of a sudden? I was on them all year last year, and they didn't do anything. Aranda pulling a fast one on me here. Minus 8 on the road at Houston. I think they roll Houston. Houston's just not very good. Wyoming hosting Boise State. Interesting game here. Boise State minus 23. And, boy, right now, Wyoming on a 10-1 ATS run. And this is a tough place to play. You go up to the high elevation. I think it's in Laramie. But I think Boise struggles a little bit here. I like Wyoming in the game to cover the 23. I think Boise wins, but Wyoming covers. A&M at Auburn. Both these teams with their big rivalry games on deck. A&M's been waiting for this shot at Texas when it meant something for 100 years. A&M minus 2.5 on the line, or on the spread, sorry, 46.5 on the total. I'm going under here. I think both teams play pretty tight. Just want to get out of the game without any injuries, get ready to take on their rivals next week. Alabama at Oklahoma. Alabama minus 14.5, total 47.5. Oh, poor Sooners. Auburn on deck, of course, for Alabama. I don't think it really matters here. I think Alabama can just play backups and probably score 35 or 40 themselves here. Lean to the over, but probably play the Tide, even though it's definitely a look-ahead spot. Vanderbilt at LSU. LSU minus 7.5, total 53.5. LSU's program falling on hard times. Brian Kelly's having self-destructions. Will they bounce back here? I don't know. They look like a team who might have hit the skids for good. Maybe Vandy's tricky here at LSU. I don't know, though. Can they lose again in Death Valley? Can they lose to Vanderbilt? I don't know about that. But lean Vandy, no real play. Virginia Tech at Duke. Tech minus 3.5, total 47.5. Tech's lost 2 straight. I think they bounce back here and beat Duke by a touchdown on the road. Cincinnati at K-State. K-State minus 8.5, total 53. Cincinnati, they've come apart for us. They gave away that game early in the year to Pitt. They've lost 3 in a row. We should have a win total bet cashed on them already. They're making it really, really hard. It's the first meeting ever. Can they hang around? They were hanging around the game last week, and then I look up and they're getting buried. I'll keep going back to the well. Lean Cincinnati. USC at UCLA. USC minus 4.5 on the road. I don't understand this. 51.5 is a rivalry game. I don't understand how USC's land points on the road. UCLA, I say it every week here, they've improved a bunch. Now, they didn't cover last week. They ended up letting it get away from them late against Washington, but they still battled in that game. They were in the game the whole time. I think they win this game outright against USC. USC is a broken mess. UCLA, much more momentum in their program right now than USC. So we're going with UCLA. Obviously, USC's got Notre Dame on deck, too, if they're even in a position to ever look ahead. UCLA gets the job done, I think, late night, 10:30 on NBC, and that'll do it for our college card this week on Bettor's Last Stand. Show number 110. Again, high school football actually coming your way right after this. We got the pregame show getting you ready for Wheeling Park and Musselman and Nichols County at Wheeling Central. Those two games, playoff action in West Virginia. We're back at it after a weird week in the WVSSAC. Finally figured it out, and we got games this week. So you can hear them right here. We'll be with Wheeling Park and Wheeling Central throughout their playoff runs. Hopefully they continue on for several weeks. That's going to do it for us here on Bettor's Last Stand. Show number 110. Again, thanks to Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club for sponsoring our Watchdog Football Fridays once again. And thanks to our friends at the Brownie House. Check them out at yesbrownies.com. Today, Pine Room is the promo code you want for 20% off your order. All right, high school football's next here on the Watchdog. Enjoy the broadcast this evening. We'll have the halftime show for the Wheeling Park game as well and keep you updated on all the scores from around West Virginia and our two local teams, St. Clairsville and Steubenville, in action in Ohio playoffs this evening as well. That'll do it for us here from the Watchdog studio. The Watchdog High School Football pregame show coming up next here on the Watchdog Network. Have a great weekend, everybody, and good luck in your wagers.